Okay, so have you ever like imagined getting a letter from, well, like from a mentor, who's about to be executed,
Oh,
and
wow.
they're like urging you to fight, like fight for these big ideas that they're
Yeah.
about to, die for? It's kind of a powerful situation, right?
Yeah, definitely. And
That's kind of what we're diving into today.
wow.
We're looking at the final letters of Paul 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus.
Right.
And we're going off of Dr. Dave Matthewson's lectures from his New Testament literature class.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he really goes deep into the historical context. And that's what
Yeah.
we're trying to do too.
Yeah, for sure.
We want to figure out how Paul, like, knowing that his time was limited,
Yeah.
wanted to make sure that, he left his mark, on
Oh,
the early
yeah.
church.
Right.
So like how he wanted to shape those early Christian communities,
Right. Yeah.
facing his final days and everything.
Yeah, what really stood out to me from Dr. Matthewson's analysis was how these letters weren't just like theoretical, like he showed how they were written to tackle some pretty specific problems that were popping up in these early
Yeah,
churches.
it's true. It's like we're getting a behind the scenes look at what was going on in the
Yeah,
early church, right?
absolutely.
Like, for example, we often think of 1 Timothy as this guide,
Right.
like how to organize a church,
Yeah.
But Dr. Matthewson argues that it was actually written to deal with false teachings in Ephesus.
Yeah.
What did you think of that take on it?
I mean, it definitely makes you reread the whole letter like in a totally new light,
Yeah.
knowing that Paul was dealing with this very specific situation in Ephesus really changes how we understand some of his instructions.
Right.
It feels less like universal laws,
Yeah.
and more about addressing this very particular challenge in that specific time and place.
Yeah, I was thinking about, especially with his instructions on women's roles in worship.
Yeah.
Those passages about dress and silence and how women shouldn't teach or have authority over men.
Oh, right.
Those are pretty controversial today.
Yeah, for sure.
How do you think this context of combating false teachings, how does that shed light on those passages?
Well, Dr. Matthewson brings up this new Roman woman concept that was becoming a thing back then.
Right.
These were women who were pushing back against traditional roles, often like flaunting their wealth and their independence.
Oh.
And it's possible that Paul was worried that this trend was messing things up in the Ephesian church.
Yeah.
Maybe some women were adopting these practices and challenging the established male leadership there.
So instead of it being like this timeless rule about women in ministry,
Right.
it could have been Paul like trying to be strategic,
Right.
addressing this cultural clash that was happening in Ephesus.
Exactly. He might have been more focused on keeping order
Yeah.
and addressing a potential power struggle in a culture that was, I mean, let's face it,
Yeah.
already super patriarchal.
Right. That really changes how we read those verses, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
It becomes less about restricting women universally and more about dealing with this really specific cultural moment.
It definitely makes us think harder about the context of those instructions and
Yeah.
how they apply or like maybe don't apply to different situations throughout history, and even today.
Yeah, and it made me think about, how Paul lists all these qualifications for elders and deacons, but he doesn't really say much about their duties.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like he's saying, look, I don't have time to go through all the details.
Yeah.
Just make sure these guys are rock solid in their character
Yeah.
and can spot false teaching from a mile away.
Yeah, I think you're spot on there.
Yeah.
Remember that Paul's big goal in 1 Timothy was to equip Timothy to fight against these false teachings.
Right.
So focusing on character qualifications for leadership makes a lot of sense,
Yeah.
in that situation. He needed leaders who could really tell the difference between truth and falsehood
Yeah.
and lead the flock through this kind of tricky time.
Yeah, and it just really brings home how urgent things must have felt for Paul.
Yeah.
Like facing his own death and knowing these young churches were so vulnerable to these, dangerous ideas.
Totally. And that feeling of urgency, it really comes through even stronger when we look at 2 Timothy.
Oh, wait.
It's like we're stepping right into Paul's final plea.
Right. It really does feel different to Timothy.
Yeah.
Like it's so personal,
Yeah.
almost like his last will and testament.
You know, it's interesting you say that last will and testament.
Yeah.
Dr. Mathewson pointed out that this letter actually fits into a literary genre from back then.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They called them testaments.
Okay.
These were like the parting words, you know, from heroes or important people who are about to die.
Yeah.
Meant to pass on wisdom and final instructions and all that.
So Paul was intentionally trying to like shape his legacy here.
Exactly.
Even while he's about to die.
Yeah. And what's really striking is that he's not so much worried about himself. It's all about making sure the truth of the gospel keeps going. You know,
yeah.
Like that phrase, contend for the faith,
yeah,
comes up over and over. It's like a rallying cry, you know,
sure,
a charge to Timothy to carry the torch and fight for what's true.
Right.
Even when it's hard.
Yeah. And he doesn't try to make it sound easy either.
No, not at all.
That image of his life being poured out like a libation.
Yeah.
It's intense, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's so vivid.
It's like sacrifice and urgency all at the same time.
Yeah.
Like he's handing this precious cup to Timothy and saying, don't spill a drop of this.
Wow. That's a great way to put it.
Talk about pressure on Timothy.
Oh, yeah. Huge pressure.
Not just instructions, but like the whole point of Paul's mission. You know,
it really makes you wonder what was going through Timothy's head.
Yeah.
When he read those words.
Right. So we've got Timothy dealing with these false teachings in Ephesus.
Right.
And then we switch over to Titus and he's got a whole other set of problems over in Crete.
Totally different situation.
What was going on there? What did Paul send him into?
Well, Crete had this, kind of a bad reputation. You know, they were known for being, let's just say, a little rough around the edges.
Okay.
A lot of dishonesty and immorality.
Right.
They had this reputation for just kind of living life on the wild side.
Okay.
Dr. Mathewson even suggested that Titus might be the most subversive of all Paul's letters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it goes right up against those cultural norms.
I'm like, how so?
Yeah.
What are some examples of that?
Well, one that jumps out is how Paul talks about God as the God who never lies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's the huge contrast with how everyone saw the Cretans.
Uh-huh.
He also calls for this life of virtue and self-control and respect.
Okay.
Which would have been pretty radical ideas in a culture known for excess and, you know, just doing whatever you felt like.
Yeah. So Paul's not just trying to, like, fit in or accommodate their culture.
No, not
He's calling for a total transformation.
Yeah.
A new way of life based on the gospel.
Right. It's like this stark contrast between the way of the world.
Yeah.
And the way of Christ.
Before we get into the bigger takeaways from all three letters.
Yeah.
What really struck you about Paul's approach in these situations?
I think it's amazing how, even though Paul was about to die,
yeah,
he was still so worried about the well-being of these new churches.
Right.
He's not just leaving behind some abstract ideas, you know.
Yeah.
He's giving very specific and practical advice for the challenges they were facing.
Yeah, it really shows his leadership, you know.
Yeah.
And just his pastoral heart.
Yeah.
He's not just a theologian.
Yeah.
He's thinking about real people with real life problems.
And it's interesting how those real life problems, even though they were specific to their time and place,
yeah,
point to some universal themes that run through all of Paul's letters.
Yeah.
Dr. Mathewson did a great job of highlighting those common threads that connect everything Paul wrote.
Let's get into those.
Okay.
What are some of the big ideas that come up over and over in Paul's letters?
Well, one that Paul keeps coming back to is that salvation comes by grace through faith, not by following the law perfectly.
Yeah.
It's not about earning our way into God's good graces.
Right.
But about responding to his free gift of grace by living a changed life.
Okay.
And this grace isn't just for some people, you know,
yeah,
it was for everyone, Jew and Gentile.
Yeah.
And it doesn't depend on the Mosaic law.
That was a revolutionary idea back then.
Oh, yeah.
And it's still a message that people need to hear today.
For sure.
You know, that no matter your background.
Yeah.
Or your past mistakes.
Yeah.
Everyone has equal access to God through faith in Jesus.
Absolutely. And this grace isn't just a free pass to do whatever we want.
Right.
It leads to a transformed life.
Yeah.
But what really hit me was how Paul talks about suffering.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't shy away from it at all.
Yeah.
He sees it as a normal part of being a Christian, even a way for God's power to be shown.
That's not a perspective you hear a lot these days.
No, not really.
Why do you think Paul embraces suffering?
He actually believes that God's grace and strength are most clear in our moments of weakness and suffering.
Okay.
It's not that suffering is good in itself.
Right.
But that God can use it to strengthen our faith and make us more like Christ.
So it's not about looking for suffering.
No.
But about knowing that when it does come,
yeah,
God can use it for good, you know, for us and for his glory.
And that leads into another big idea that Paul brings up, what he calls the already but not yet reality of overcoming sin.
Okay.
We're already made right with God through Christ.
Yeah.
So victory over sin is certain in the end, but we still struggle with temptation and sin every day.
Right. Like we're living in this tension.
Yeah, exactly.
Between who we are in Christ and who we're becoming.
Right.
It's messy.
It is.
But hopeful.
Totally. And that's where community comes in.
Yeah.
Paul makes it clear that we're not supposed to live out our faith alone. We need each other for support, encouragement, and to keep each other accountable.
Right. Especially in that already but not yet tension.
Exactly.
We need people to remind us of the truth when we mess up.
Yeah.
To help us up when we fall.
Yeah.
And to push us to be more like Christ.
Absolutely. And that's such an important thing to remember.
Yeah.
Because our culture is so focused on individualism, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul's vision is of a whole group of believers all working together.
Yeah.
Each one playing their part, supporting each other.
Right. And showing the world what Christ is like.
It's a beautiful picture of how the gospel changes not just individuals,
yeah,
but whole communities.
It really shows that we're stronger together.
Oh, for sure.
Especially when we're facing opposition or tempted to compromise.
And one last thing that Paul emphasizes.
Okay.
The best way to fight falsehood isn't just knowing the right doctrines,
uh-huh,
but living them out.
Right.
It's about showing the power of the gospel by how we live.
So it's not just about having the right answers in our heads.
It's but about letting the truth of the gospel change our hearts.
Yes.
Our relationships, yeah, our choices.
Yeah.
And ultimately how we interact with the world.
It's about reflecting Christ in everything we do.
Yeah.
Not just our words, but our actions.
Right.
Our attitudes, how we treat others.
Yeah.
That's a powerful witness.
Yeah.
It goes beyond culture.
Yeah.
And speaks to what everyone wants deep down.
It's pretty amazing to think about, you know.
Yeah.
These letters written like right under pressure.
Yeah.
And they still speak to us today, you know?
For sure.
Paul facing death, but he's totally focused on preparing his followers.
Yeah.
You know, for what's next.
Yeah, I think that's what makes his message so powerful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't just about winning arguments.
Right.
He wanted to shape lives.
Yeah.
Build communities that could handle opposition and temptation.
So what does this mean for us, you know?
Right.
How do we contend for the faith, like Paul told Timothy?
Yeah.
Especially in a world that doesn't seem to care much for truth. That's the big question, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it starts with us figuring this stuff out, you know, really understanding what we believe and why.
Uh-huh.
It's about going deeper than just accepting it.
Yeah.
It's about really believing it.
So it's not enough to just kind of inherit beliefs.
Right.
We have to make them our own.
You have to own them.
Yeah.
And I think that comes through studying and reflecting,
yeah,
and having honest conversations with people, even people who disagree with us.
Yeah.
That's where our faith gets tested and refined, you know?
And that can be hard sometimes.
Oh, for sure. It can be uncomfortable,
yeah,
even painful.
Yeah.
But I think Paul would say those are the times when God's grace really shows up.
Uh-huh.
Our weakness is where his strength shines through.
And we're not alone in that.
No, definitely not.
Paul really emphasized community.
Yeah.
The church. As a group of people who support each other.
Yeah, supporting each other, encouraging each other.
Yeah, that's so important.
Absolutely. We're not supposed to be lone wolves in our faith.
Right.
We need each other to keep us accountable.
Uh-huh.
To challenge us when we get off track.
Yeah.
And to celebrate when we grow.
It's like we're all part of this huge tapestry, you know?
Yeah, oh, that's a good way to put it.
Each thread adding to the picture.
Yeah, and I think that's really what Paul is getting at. Our faith is deeply personal, but it's also about community.
Yeah.
It changes us from the inside out.
Uh-huh.
And it pushes us to engage with the world around us.
So it's not about hiding away in a Christian bubble.
No, not at all.
It's about bringing the light and truth of the gospel out into the world.
Exactly. To our families, our work, our communities,
yeah,
even online, you know? It's
right,
about being salt and light, like Jesus said.
Yeah.
Showing the power of the gospel.
Yeah.
Through love, kindness, and fighting for justice.
Well, this deep dive has been so insightful.
I'm glad to hear that.
I feel like I really get Paul's final letters now.
That's great.
And how relevant they still are.
Definitely.
I would encourage everyone listening to go back and read these letters for yourself.
Yeah.
Think about what they mean and how they can challenge you in your own faith journey.
Absolutely. And here's something to think about as you do that.
Okay.
Paul was always fighting against false teachings that were sneaking into the church.
Right.
So what are some of the ways that the gospel gets distorted or misrepresented today? And how can you, in your own life, contend for the faith with grace and truth and courage?
That's a great question for all of us to think about.
Definitely.
Until next time.